When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, everyone. I'm Ariel Cooksey, host of Malice. When violent acts occur, we tend to think the predators are monsters. Surely no human could do such things. But if we're honest, only humans commit malicious crime. And if you're like me, you want to know why. To find out, join me at Malice, wherever you listen to podcasts. Bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, y'all, and welcome to Kudzu Killers, Homicide, and Sweet Tea, where we'd like to share gothic tales of Southern-style murder.
I'm Lark, and that other voice you hear is Kim. Each week, we take turns telling you the gruesome details of serial killers, spree killers, and just plain old mean people that we find interesting, and we hope you do too. Sometimes quirky and weird, but always respectful.
So sit back, grab your glass of iced tea, relax, and let us take you step by step through our story. And feel free to shoot us a comment on a specific episode on our blog at kudzukillerspodcast.blogspot.com.
Now, let's get on with the show.
Laughs out of our things. I don't know that we're going to get this many laughs out of this story today. It's a little disturbing. It's a little sad. It's a lot sad. I'm surprised it didn't get more coverage in the media than it did, but we're going to tell everybody about it and let them know what's going on
awesome.
With this case.
We'll try to do our part, so go for it.
Yeah. So Shannon Christian and Christopher Newsom were a couple in Knoxville, Tennessee. Shannon was born April 29th, 1985 in Nacogdoches, Texas. And in 1997, she and her family moved from Louisiana, where they'd been living, to Knoxville, Tennessee. She was about, I guess, 12 at the time. She went to Farragut High School in Knoxville and then on to the University of Tennessee in Knoxville, where she was, at the time, a senior majoring in sociology. Christopher Newsom was her boyfriend, and he was born September 21st, 1983, and he attended Halls High School in Halls Crossroads, which is a suburb of Knoxville. I'm not sure much about that area, but it's near there and it's considered a suburb, mm-hmm. as well as Farragut, where Shannon lived.
Gotcha.
He played baseball for the high school baseball team and kind of was a popular guy. And Shannon was a gorgeous girl and they were dating and had been for some time.
Aww.
On January 6th of 2007, they were leaving a party at a friend's house or a friend's apartment. It was in the evening when they were leaving and it was dark outside. And when they walked into the parking lot at the friend's apartment complex to get to their car, they were carjacked abducted.
Aww.
Shannon's parents were worried about her when they didn't hear from her that night because, you know, she was a pretty good girl. She let them know, even though she was 21 years old, she still let them know what was going on in her life. And she didn't contact them and let them know how the party went or that she was home. And so by Sunday morning, they were getting really worried. They hadn't heard from her at all that day. So they started looking for her and found her Toyota 4Runner abandoned.
Oh, wow.
On Monday morning, on January 8th, the police investigators came out and they found a fingerprint on an envelope inside the car.
Mm.
That fingerprint belonged to Lamericus Davidson. I'm not going to give his address, although I don't think it exists anymore, but it was only about 2 blocks away from where they found Shannon's car.
Oh.
The police went to the address and found no one there. It's the research I found said it was unoccupied, but I don't know if that means it was empty or if he was just not home at the time or if he had given an incorrect address. You know, they didn't have the right information or what, but he wasn't there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. When they searched the apartment and the surrounding area, they found Shannon's body stuffed inside a trash can in the kitchen.
Oh, man.
According to the medical examiner in the case, Shannon had been tortured. She had a traumatic brain injury.
Mm.
I don't know whether it was from knocking her in the head or beating her. It wasn't clear.
Mm.
She had injuries to her vagina and anus and mouth from repeated sexual assaults. Attackers had poured bleach down her throat and scrubbed her body with bleach, evidently in an effort to get rid of the DNA evidence that might be there.
Oh, my gosh.
She was bound with bedding and pieces of curtains, and her face was covered in a trash bag, and her body was placed in 5 larger trash bags. And then they put her in residential disposal can, one of those big green cans or black cans, depending on where you live.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't dead.
Oh, my God.
They covered her with Wendy's trash from Wendy's and bed sheets and things like that. But she was disposed of like so much garbage, but she wasn't dead yet. She slowly suffocated from having the plastic bag on top of her head.
Not to mention the bleach just burning her from the inside out.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
It was a pretty painful death and lots of torture and the poor girl sexually assaulted and basically probably beaten to death with the traumatic brain injury and things like that. So
it's terrible.
Christopher was nowhere to be found in the apartment.
Mm.
But later, they found his body lying beside some railroad tracks nearby.
Mm-hmm.
He had been blindfolded, bound and gagged, stripped naked from the waist down. He'd been sodomized with some object they didn't know what, as well as raped.
Aww.
He was shot in the back of the head, the neck, and the back, and then his body was set on fire.
Oh my God.
Police believe he was killed in the house and that his body was wrapped and disposed of later.
Monsters.
After an investigation, yeah, absolutely monsters. There's really no other word for it than monsters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, during the investigation, they identified 4 people. George Detroit Thomas was arrested and indicted on 16 counts of felony murder related to the rape, robbery, and kidnapping and theft of Shannon and Christopher and the car,
suppose. Mm-hmm.
He also received 2 charges of premeditated murder, 2 counts of especially aggravated robbery. And I looked up what this means. And especially aggravated means that they accomplished it with a deadly weapon and the victims suffer serious bodily injury.
Oh,
and
my.
It's a class A felony.
Mm-hmm.
He got 4 counts of especially aggravated kidnapping, which is basically the same thing. It's been done with a deadly weapon and the victim suffered.
Mm-hmm.
20 counts of aggravated rape.
Oh, my
and 2
God.
Counts of theft. That's right. The other suspect was Latalvis Darnell Cobbins. He faced the same 46 charges as Thomas did. He was also charged with assaulting a correctional officer while he was in jail waiting for trial. In 2003, which was several years before this, he had been convicted of third-degree attempted robbery in New York. So he traveled around a little bit and did his business everywhere, I guess.
Thinking he's just going to amscray down south, didn't know his work.
I guess. Mm-hmm. Now, this next guy was Latalvis's half-brother, Lamericus Duval Davidson. It was his older, I believe, like a year older half-brother.
Mm-hmm.
And he also faced the same 46 charges as Thomas. And he had just completed a 5-year sentence in Tennessee on a felony conviction for carjacking and aggravated robbery. So these guys aren't choir boys.
Nope. No.
By any means. And
they don't seem to care if they get caught.
No. Evidently not. I mean, I guess the punishment's not harsh enough for them to not want to do something again.
They just don't care.
The fourth person that they arrested was Vanessa Coleman.
Oh my God, there was a woman involved with this?
There's a woman involved. She was indicted on 12 counts of felony murder related to the rape, robbery, kidnapping, and theft of Shannon and Christopher. One count of premeditated murder of Shannon. One count of especially aggravated robbery of Christopher. 4 counts of especially aggravated kidnapping and 20 counts of aggravated rape and 2 counts of theft. I'm not sure where they get 4 counts of especially aggravated kidnapping since there were 2 people unless they moved them from place to place or something like that. I tried to find that information and I could not find why there were 4 counts against them. But
so did that mean that she was there with them?
She was
doing
involved.
This?
Evidently, she was there.
I don't know that
they could charge her with that if she wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They would charge her with after the fact. I would think aiding and abetting after the fact, or you know,
hiding them out.
What do they call it?
Mm-hmm. Harboring a fugitive.
Not mutilation. And mutilation of a corpse or whatever they call it. You know, she helped them
drag
Christopher away. And I would think.
Oh, my God.
There's another person, but they didn't get around to finding him until many years later. So we'll talk about him in a little bit.
Well, good.
The first 4 suspects were indicted in Knox County, and they wanted separate trials. They got separate trials instead of being tried all together. I know there's a distinction there of being tried all together and being tried separately. I think it has to do with being held accountable and sentencing and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most people would like to be tried separately, probably. But anyway, they got their separate trials. A couple of the defendants' lawyers didn't think they deserved to be convicted, and they wanted, saying there was insufficient evidence, and so that's how they got their separate trials. Didn't work.
Wow.
Their trials were scheduled for May and August of 2008, but with a bit of finagling with the defense attorneys and the prosecution office, three of their trials were moved to 2009. Judge Richard Baumgartner moved the trials for Thomas and Cobbins to Nashville area instead of the Knoxville area.
Probably a good idea.
Figured they could get a fair trial there, maybe. Thomas's attorneys said there wasn't any forensic evidence to convict his client with. He wasn't at the crime scene, basically, is what he was saying, and asked for a speedy trial. So he got his trial on August 11th, 2008, as it was scheduled before.
Yeah, push it through fast.
Judge Baumgartner, and evidently the guy made some calls while he was waiting around in jail.
No doubt.
And the prosecutors wanted to have those calls in on the trial, and Judge Baumgartner said, absolutely.
Good. Awesome.
And District Attorney Randy Nichols announced that the state would seek the death penalty for Cobbins and for Coleman.
Yes. Score.
So she was a wee bit involved there if he was going to try for the death penalty for her.
Mm-hmm.
In answer to your earlier question, she was up to it in her eyeballs, or to her eyeballs.
I don't understand.
Davidson was also indicted for a second robbery, which he committed after the murders. And there was publicity in Knoxville, I guess. I didn't hear about it personally anywhere else. This was back in 2007, right? 2008. I don't remember hearing a lot about this murder, these murders. But they needed, I guess there was in the Knoxville area, so they wanted a change of venue in order to get a fair trial.
Mm-hmm.
They The state said that an impartial jury could be found during voir dire, which is, it's when, if you've ever been on a trial, I have,
but please
that's
explain.
That's when the attorneys get you up there before the trial starts. They get all the jurors that they've called up there and they ask them questions to see if they might be biased or if they might, you know, be associated with the trial or the defendants or, you know, the people that were hurt during the trial in some way and can get rid of them, basically kick them off the jury.
Right.
That's what voir dire is.
Mm-hmm.
So they argued that they could get that during the trial. They could weed out the people that might have an idea of what their verdict was going to be ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And the judge said that he felt like this appeal was a little bit premature since they hadn't even started jury selection yet. So on August 25th, 2009, Latalvis Cobbins was found guilty of the murders of Shannon Christian and Christopher Newsom.
Good.
He faced the possible death penalty because he was convicted of first-degree felony murder in the case of Shannon. He was found guilty of facilitating the murder for Christopher, but he was acquitted of Christopher's rape. The jurors took about 10 hours on Monday and some time on Tuesday morning before they reached a verdict, and he was sentenced to life without parole on August 26th. On October 28th of 2009, Lamericus Duval Davidson was found guilty.
Good.
The jurors unanimously found that he should receive the death penalty on all four capital charges.
Because he was the ringleader, right?
He was the ringleader, evidently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He and Thomas.
Okay.
He and George Thomas were the ringleaders, evidently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So on December 8th, 2009, George Thomas was found guilty on multiple counts. The jury returned a sentence of life in prison without the possibility of parole on each of the four capital convictions. I mean, Lamarcus Davidson, he wasn't even finished when they sentenced him to death for that. He also got 80 years for other charges related to the murder. He got consecutive death penalties. I don't know how you serve death penalties consecutively because they can't lethally inject you over and over again. But
oh my gosh. Let's resuscitate him. Let's do it again. Oh
well,
my God.
some people I think deserve that, but
I do too. I think these people do.
Anyway.
I think they do.
Yeah. Vanessa Coleman was acquitted of first degree murder, but found guilty on a lesser charge. And she was sentenced to 53 years.
Wow.
She was granted immunity by federal authorities in exchange for testimony about the other people.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I have a couple of questions that maybe I missed. Did you tell us before how old these people were? Were they like?
I did not tell you before, but they were about the same age as the people they killed. Basically.
Okay, so
they were in their 20s.
Uh-huh.
They were in their early mid 20s. They were born in this the 1980s, early 1980s, 81, 82. Vanessa was the youngest. She was born in 88, so she was only 20, I think, when this happened.
Oh my goodness gracious! So, do you think or do you know if they all knew each other? Maybe they went to school together.
They were all associated with each other. I don't know if they went to school together, but I'll get a little bit into that later. I want to go into the relationships.
Okay.
That they had with each other.
I'm sorry. That was
and how they were all connected. Because there is one guy, this other guy I told you, there's another person, a fifth person.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he's a bit older than the others that they're associated with. His name is Eric Dwayne Boyd, and he was arrested in connection with the carjacking. He was not indicted in Knoxville, but he later in 2018 was indicted by a grand jury. So they waited around 11 years to get him, but they did finally get him as an accessory after the fact in helping the suspects evade police. And
better late than never. Yeah.
And when he went to trial, Thomas and Cobbins accused him of being the one who raped and murdered Christopher.
Wow.
A search warrant was obtained for his DNA. Okay, so after the break, we'll get back to the retrials, because of course, there's sort of an automatic appeal process, I think, for death penalty cases. And of course, these guys, were death penalty cases. A couple of them were. And of course, automatic appeals for any convictions like that. So there were appeals and there were retrials, and we'll get to those after the break.
Right. We'll be right back. Y'all grab your iced tea.
Hey folks, Rob here from Fat, Drunk, and Stupid. And what is that, you ask? Well, aside from three words that describe my life, it's a podcast. We talk about food, fun, fellowship, movies, books, video games, pop culture, and much more. Also, some very interesting guests and some awesome stories, and of course, some cold beers along the way too. So look us up on Twitter at FDS Podcast 7 and look for Fat, Drunk, and Stupid wherever you find your favorite podcast. Thanks for listening.
Hey guys, I'm Katie.
And I'm Rebecca, and we're the host of Chills, Thrills, and Kills,
a podcast where we talk about true crime, all things spooky, conspiracy theories, and so much more.
Do you find that your friends think you talk too much about serial killers?
Do you wish you had more friends you could talk about all things dark and scary with?
Well, look no further, because we're here.
Join us as we cover all of the chills, thrills, and kills.
You can find us under Chills, Thrills, and Kills on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and pretty much anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
We'll see you soon.
Back, y'all, and now Kim is here with the rest of the story and the appeal and retrials and more surprises to this horrific story. Kim?
Okay, so as we were talking about, there's usually an automatic appeal for convictions this severe. So all four defendants appealed their convictions. In the meantime, Judge Baumgartner, who'd been the sentencing judge for three of the trials, I think, or maybe all four of them, he was one of Knox County's three criminal court judges. He was forced to resign from the bench in March 2011. He admitted to being addicted to drugs and purchasing prescription pain medication from convicts. And was accused by a woman of trading legal favors for sex during breaks in court sessions.
Oh, no.
Yeah. These actions were held to have impaired his ability to conduct trials during his first 2 years on the bench. And so that compromised the trials, every single one of them that he held during this time.
Of course it did.
Including the initial trials of our four defendants.
No.
He was later disbarred as a result.
My goodness.
Now, in December of 2011, the Tennessee State Bureau of Investigations suggested that Baumgartner was most likely under the influence while he was sitting on the bench during their trials. So
they're going to make him look bad.
Judge John Kerry Blackwood. Well, he is kind of looking bad. I mean, trading sex for favors in court's not a good look on anybody.
He is, but we also kind of know about some of the Tennessee judges. I'm just saying. Anyway.
But Judge John Kerry Blackwood was granted new trials for all four defendants. Mm. And after a bit of going back and forth between Blackwood and the state Supreme Court, it was decided in May 2012 that they would have new trials. And they basically said, we're not condoning or excusing Baumgartner's misconduct, but we're going to go ahead and have new trials anyway. We're not saying he was bad and he didn't do it right and he was under the influence when he did the trials, but we're going to do retrials anyway.
Okay, wait, I got a question. So does that mean if they're going to do retrials because this judge was inept, would they get the retrial and then be able to still have another appeal, you reckon? You know what I'm saying?
The death penalty cases, well, I don't know how many appeals the state of Tennessee allows, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know that criminals appeal cases all the time, and you know that it takes sometimes 20 years to get a death penalty or more. I mean, the state of California, you might as well give people a life sentence because they're not getting executed.
More than likely.
So, I don't know. That's why they always say that life in giving somebody life in prison is better than giving them the death penalty because the appeals process is a lot shorter. Mm-hmm. For a life sentence, than it is for a death sentence. And it costs millions of dollars more to give somebody the death penalty than it costs to just go ahead and give them a life sentence and keep them in prison for the rest of their lives.
Right. Even though we want the satisfaction. I mean, I understand the emotional satisfaction, but I get it financially too. I'm a practical person. So anyway, sorry.
I mean, that's another reason that I'm not a big death penalty person is because it costs so much more to give somebody the death penalty. And why not let them suffer for the rest of their lives in prison if it's cheaper
us? I totally see your point.
As taxpayers.
I totally see your point. Yeah, I'm just...
Besides the fact I don't think I could give it to anybody, that's, you know...
I'm saying it's philosophically.
A practical, financial, fiscal responsibility kind of thing.
Right. Exactly. So anyway, meanwhile, please continue. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was just...
Well, they recused Blackwood from the cases. And because he reversed his decision and declined to grant new trials to Cobbins and Davidson, the motion said that Blackwood is emotionally involved in the case and it was interfering with a fair trial. So Judge Walter Kurtz was named to oversee the trials and make the decisions to grant them or not. Retrials were denied also by him for Cobbins and Davidson, but were granted for Thomas and Coleman. So Vanessa got a retrial. George got a retrial. They both faced the same charges that they faced the first time. On November 20th, 2012, Vanessa Coleman was convicted by a jury of facilitation of aggravated kidnapping, facilitation of rape, and facilitation of the murder of Shannon. Not convicted of murder this time, but she was not convicted of anything to do with Christopher's death. They were lesser charges than her initial convictions, so she got off a little lighter.
But still.
Her retrial was conducted in Knoxville, but the jury was selected from Jackson, Tennessee, which is about an hour northeast of Memphis. Then Coleman was sentenced to 35 years in prison, minus credit for her time already served. So she was eligible for parole in 2019.
What?
But her parole was... Yep. But her parole was blocked by a judge.
Well, thank God for that.
So she did not get out. On May 17th, 2013, George Thomas had his retrial in Nashville, which ended with a guilty verdict on all counts, with a lesser charge on count 17. I'm not sure what count that was. He was resentenced to life in prison by the jury, but with the possibility of parole after 51 years.
Where are they coming up with these numbers? I don't know.
I do not know what the calculation is for those sentences, but I'm sure there is one.
Right.
Judge Kurtz sentenced George Thomas to two life sentences consecutively. That means one after the other. And for the murders, and 25 years multiple times concurrently for the rapes. In January 2016, Thomas appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, but the court did not agree to hear the case, so he's out of luck.
Now, sucks to be him.
So sad. Yeah. On March 20th, 2018, 11 years after the conclusion of the original trial and the verdicts, a Knox County grand jury returned a 36-count indictment charging Eric Boyd with first-degree felony murder. And he's the guy I told you that wasn't charged until 2018.
Right.
But he was charged with first-degree felony murder, first-degree premeditated murder, especially aggravated robbery, which we discussed before was bodily harm and with a weapon, especially aggravated kidnapping and aggravated rape in the murders.
I wonder why they didn't rat on him early in the game.
I have no idea. I guess they realized they could get something out of it, maybe. They thought they could avoid the death penalty by saying, hey, this guy was in on it too. I don't know. Either that or they knew he was involved but couldn't find him. I'm not sure.
I did not find that
in my research. But I know he was brought from the Federal Correctional Institute in Yazoo City, Mississippi, and booked in the Knoxville County Jail on $1 million bond. After more than a year of pretrial motions, he was finally at his trial on August 2019.
Wow. Not even a year ago.
No. Wow. This was another instance of he was found later. And I don't know if it was through DNA evidence that they were able to convict him or find him. I could not, for whatever reason, in all my research, and I looked at a lot of stuff, unless I just missed it somewhere, I could not find how they found him or what they used to convict him with, unless it was DNA evidence. Because that's coming up a lot lately. They're finding people they didn't know about, you know.
Right. And that's awesome. That's really awesome.
Unlike the other trials, there was a long time in between when the murders happened and when he was put on trial. So the trial was in Knoxville. There was no point they felt in moving it. It had been a long time. The media coverage had died down. They felt like the people could be chosen there in Knoxville and not sequestered on the jury. George Thomas testified against him. And on August 13th, the jury found Boyd guilty on nearly all of the charges, including two charges of premeditated first-degree murder and multiple charges of rape against both victims. The jury had not guilty verdicts on some minor charges, but he was immediately sentenced right then and there to life in prison.
Do not pass go. Yay. That's right. Good deal.
Boyd was evidently friends with the ringleader, Davidson, Lamericus Davidson. He helped hide Davidson after the victim's bodies were found near Davidson's house. They said he took part in the kidnappings and went to the rental house afterward and hung out. Boyd had never been directly charged with the kidnapping and raping or killing of either Christopher or Shannon until April 20th of 2018. So I guess they knew he was involved all along, but he...
Just building their case.
They either couldn't find him or they just didn't get around to charging him because they didn't think he was really involved. He was just hiding the guy or what. But whether George Thomas was lying to get himself a little bit of extra stuff or something in prison, I don't know.
Right.
Anyway, Christopher Newsom's mother said she always knew he was the one who murdered her son. She's sure he's the one who murdered her son. She's always felt that way all along, even though he wasn't tried or in prison when the rest of them were.
Does she have a reason for that or just mother's intuition?
Intuition, she said. Just her mother's instinct. She felt like that he was the guy.
Aw, that's really sad.
So, yeah. So, anyway, that's... That's about all there is to do with that case.
So you were going to mention how they knew each other or how you thought they knew each other.
I think they were just friends. Boyd was friends with Davidson and they had lived together, I want to say in New York. Okay, so on some side notes, Vanessa Coleman, who was the only female, of course, charged and convicted in the crimes, was eligible for parole, like I said, but her sentence expires in 2036. The families were notified that her sentence would be reduced by 16 days per month of incarceration if she had good behavior, which made her eligible for parole consideration in October of 2014. But she was denied parole, and her next parole consideration date is December of this year. So she may be out of prison in December of this year.
Oh my God.
After doing all this stuff.
You know, let me just say that I have a real problem with women who partake in this kind of violation. I mean, and not to mention, the first thing is, I mean, it's horrible. The murder itself, the torture, the torment. But woman to woman, you know what I mean? It's just like, so they just couldn't possibly even see her as a human being. They just saw her as, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know.
You think fun? I don't know. I have no idea what goes through the minds of some of people who kill people. I don't know. And it seems like for fun. I mean, they didn't get a lot of money off of them. They got a car that they abandoned. I just don't see what the point was in killing these two young people because they wanted their car. I guess they didn't have cars and they wanted probably to joyride around and do something. And they just, Christopher and Shannon were in the wrong place at the wrong time and ran into the wrong guys.
Maybe so.
Is all that I can figure out. Because there's no connection between them and the four guys at all. Just an unfortunate circumstance that they ran across them in the parking lot of that apartment building. They were probably looking for a car to steal. And when they saw them getting in, they thought that was an easy mark. And at the last minute, one of them decided to shove them in the car and have a bit of fun when they got home. That's the only thing I can figure out.
But I mean, it's just so, I just don't feel like they got anything out of it other than kicks. It's like this gang mentality, pack mentality, where it's what, you know, in the older days, they call it a mob mentality that, you know, one person fed off the next person's and then they should just become this unit.
I think exactly that happens.
And
that probably was the case in this case too. They probably, you know, there's four of them against two or five of them against two, and they thought they'd have a little bit of fun, you know, expense of these two young people who were doing nothing more than walking to their car after a party.
And
I think it takes a special kind of consciousness animal
right.
to do these sorts of things that they did. It's not that they killed them and carjacked them and killed them. It's what they did to them afterwards. That is just pure
evil,
monstrous. That's just evil. It's monstrous and it's evil. And there's no
forgiving
no
that.
Reason for
there's,
it.
There's no, no there's no. just no, you know, how can you sit your mouth to get up there in court and say the things that you did and ask for any kind of leniency? Oh, hell no. I think you need to go through what you did. I don't know. I'm a tit
for tat.
There
are a lot of people that agree with you out there. There are a lot of people that think when someone's convicted of this and they're pretty sure they did it, that they should suffer the same things that the people that, you know, what they did to people. And I can see that sometimes with the death penalty kind of thing for me, though, I would really have to be very, very, very sure that they did it.
Well, I know. I don't think they could do that,
but that's just, you know, it's what you feel. It's emotionally what you want to happen to these people
right,
when they have
right.
tortured and poured bleach down the throat of this 21-year-old girl, poured bleach down her throat, fastened a plastic bag around her head when she wasn't dead and suffocated her to death in a trash can.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You want something, and you want something bad.
Right.
And, you know, what they did to the boy, it was just all too much. It was over the top. And yeah, it was sort of a gang mob mentality. I think they could do it. They could get away with it. They had them separated. They could gang up on both of them, and they didn't figure there were going to be any consequences because they didn't figure they'd get caught.
Well, I believe in consequences. I'm here to tell you. So, I mean, I hate to say that I'm old school about things, but I believe in consequences. And so I'm glad that they did catch them, and I'm glad that they're doing at least some sort of time.
Cobbins is serving a life sentence without parole, and Thomas is serving 123 years to life, being eligible for parole in 2064.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he'll be around till 2064, but we'll see.
I don't think
he'll get paroled even if he is.
Right.
Eric Boyd, who was the last one convicted, got 18 years in Federal Correctional Institute in a medium security prison near Beaver, West Virginia,
mm-mm.
and was potentially eligible for release in 2022. But after he was found guilty of rape and first-degree murder charges in 2019, he's going to get a new sentencing. I'm not sure at this point in time if the sentencing has been done yet, but he was immediately sentenced to life in prison by the judge. She stated a life sentence was an automatic for the murder conviction, so...
Well,
he's spending life in there.
Good.
Now, here's a little bit of, I don't think you can call it good news, but the house where the body was found, I believe, was bought by a company called Waste Connections, which evidently had offices nearby.
Mm-hmm.
They're a national garbage collection company.
Uh-huh.
And they demolished that house in October of 2008.
Thank God.
And
the
spokesperson said that the company's intent is to replace the house with a memorial dedicated to Christopher and Shannon. In 2008, a golf tournament memorial foundation was established for Shannon in her memory to provide a scholarship for Farragut High School senior who's going to attend the University of Tennessee. There's a Little League baseball tournament in Christopher's honor that was held at Halls Community Park in 2008 and 2009, and a memorial scholarship is given annually in his name to a graduating Halls High School baseball player, because that's what he did. He was a baseball player.
Wow. Well, it's really, really sad, Kim. I'm sure that was difficult to research and go through. And plus, you know, we may have said this before, but Kim and I used to live in Memphis and in Tennessee, and it is a wonderful place, and we have good friends there. But, you know.
Just like any place else, bad things happen.
Right. So it makes you kind of sad to think about just how the bad ones crawl out the woodwork when you least expect it and you're having a good time.
Ma'am.
So condolences to Shannon and Christopher's families, and y'all keep them in your prayers. So
that's right.
Anything else for you today, Miss Kim?
That's it, lady.
Okay. Well, thank y'all again for coming, and we'll see you soon.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye. That's our episode for this week. Thanks for listening to us, and we hope you join us again every Tuesday for an exciting new episode.
Head on over to our blog at kudzukillerspodcast.blogspot.com and leave a comment or your ideas about the subject this week.
Or follow us on Twitter at kudzukillerspod, and you can shout out to us anytime or send a question for our next Q&A.
Yes, ma'am. And we'd love you forever if you leave us a review on whatever podcast blows you scared up. We'd love to hear what you think about it. Show.
If you'd like to become a part of the Kudzu Killers family, hop on over to patreon.com/kudzukillerspodcast and take a look at the goodies you get when you show us some love.
That's right. And if you love our music, check out Jody Jennings' music on Facebook, SoundCloud, or all social media and streaming music platforms.
So until next week,
or if we decide to shoot out a mini episode,
bye y'all.
Bye y'all.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.